Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an update on the make or break moment for Mitt Romney with the Michigan Republican primary where the polls have just closed and we will announce results as they come in. A former long-serving executive with General Motors, Debbie Dingell, joins us. She is the president of D2 Strategies and chair of the Manufacturing Initiative of the American Automobile Policy Council, and we will discuss the fate of Michigan's own Mitt, who campaigned on his opposition to President Obama's initiatives to rescue Chrysler and General Motors from bankruptcy. Then we will speak with Michael Singh, the filmmaker of a new PBS feature documentary, Valentino's Ghost, that explores the ways images of Arabs and Muslims have been portrayed in movies, starting with Rudolph Valentino's The Sheik, up to the present, where an Iranian film, The Separation, just won the Academy Award, with its director in accepting the Oscar, making an appeal for the medium of film to be used to generate greater cultural empathy and understanding at a time when rumors of war abound. Then finally, we will discuss the leading role Saudi Arabia is taking in trying to overthrow Syria's brutal Assad regime on humanitarian grounds, which, given the repressive nature of the absolute monarchy that rules Saudi Arabia, many see as hypocritical. Toby Jones, a professor of Middle East history at Rutgers University and author of Desert Kingdom, How Oil and Water Forged Modern Saudi Arabia, joins us. Joining us now is Debbie Dingell, the president of D2 Strategies and chair of the Manufacturing Initiative of the American Automotive Policy Council. She worked for more than 30 years at General Motors as a senior executive, has served as vice chairman of the General Motors Foundation, and as executive director of global community relations and government relations at GM. Welcome to Background Briefing, Debbie Dingell.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And you're a genuine Michigander, it would seem.
I am born and bred, auto industry in my blood.
So does Mitt Romney.
It's true.
Why did he write that op-ed then? Why did he come out of the gate opposing the so-called bailout? And frankly, the bailout is not really what it is. We should begin with that, right?
That absolutely is correct. It was at a time saving the domestic auto industry that had the government not taken the action that it had, it would have had devastating economic consequences across this country. I don't know why he did what he did. It's very hard to understand why he did, and quite frankly, to understand why in the last couple of weeks that he's been in Michigan, why he has continued to take the stand that he did or attack labor so heavily. Governor Snyder, Republican governor of Michigan, doesn't look back but says, it works, let's move ahead.
So it's true that I take it, Debbie Dingell, that there is that Mitt Romney's father was quite popular, right? And he's tried to sort of maintain that or at least use those coattails of his father's legacy. But I'm just wondering about this stance that he's taken against the President Obama's efforts to. Well, since you've worked for GM, let's just clarify exactly what happened there. My understanding is that had the president not intervened, GM and Chrysler would have gone into bankruptcy, and there was no private equity available, and this was a choice that had to be made, and that, frankly, it's not a bailout because both Chrysler and General Motors are paying it back. And isn't it pretty clear that General Motors is having an incredibly good year with their products back on the market and being quite popular?
All of that, you've done a good description of it, Ian, in describing what happened. Governor Romney has said that what he wanted was a bankruptcy and that it should have been private funding. But if you recall the state that the government was in, or the economy was in at the time, there was not that kind of funding available from any of the banks. That money wasn't available. So the only source of funding that was necessary, that was critical and necessary for both General Motors and Chrysler came from the government. And the fact of the matter is that Chrysler has repaid the loan, General Motors has repaid the loan, the government still has equity in General Motors, but it's fully anticipated that the government will get their money back before this is all over. And the jobs that have been saved across the country, in community after community, not just in Michigan, but in every state across the country. All 50 states would have been impacted by the demise of this domestic industry. And the fact of the matter is that in the last, we've seen 200,000 jobs added in the last 18 months. You've got all three companies are adding three shifts. You've seen, for the first time, you've seen job growth in the auto industry since 1994. You're seeing positive signs that happened because the government helped these two companies survive.
And Debbie Dingell, does the demonizing of the big unions and the big union bosses that Romney's engaging in, referring, of course, to the UAW, that doesn't seem to ring true when you look at the deal that was made. You know, the older workers maintain their pay and their benefits, but new workers, entry level workers, are paid as little as $14 an hour. So that doesn't strike me as a huge victory for big union bosses.
What I don't understand is why Governor Romney has been attacking labor so intensely. The fact of the matter is that everybody came to the table, and union workers made significant concessions, gave up contracts were renewed, retirees gave up health care benefits. There were cuts in salary or in the income of the union workers. There were significant concessions made by everybody so that everybody could succeed, that people could help their fellow workers and to save this industry. And what the president was doing was protecting people's pensions, their health care benefits, etc. That's all. We're saving and helping everyday working men and women is not selling out to labor.
So in other words, had it gone bankrupt, it could have gone the way of some of the airline companies who have been able to break their union contracts and literally, you know, either abandon the pension obligations or in that some cases loot them.
That is absolutely correct.
So
these people worked a lifetime.
So Debbie Dingell, again, the president of D2 Strategies and chair of the Manufacturing Initiative of the American Automotive Policy Council. What is happening then with the rural? I mean, it's hard to understand the stance that Romney's taken, but maybe the argument would be, well, you know, the very conservative Republican voters in the state might well agree with him over not rescuing GM and Chrysler. Hard to believe, but perhaps there's some evidence for that. But my understanding is that in the rural parts of Michigan, where there's a lot of appeal for hunting and gun ownership, and your husband, the longest serving congressman in the House, is on the board of the NRA, John Dingell. My understanding is that the NRA in Michigan has come out strongly for Santorum and against Romney. And would that be a factor?
Well,
do you think?
Yes, my husband was on the board of the NRA. He is not on the board of the NRA now. The NRA came out very strongly for Senator Santorum in the last few days. I was actually surprised at how strong the message was, telling people that Senator Santorum had an A-plus rating, but that if they cared about their gun rights, that supporting used words that Mitt Romney had given at one point, saying that he did not support the NRA on many occasions, and said that a vote for Mitt Romney would be destroying gun owners' rights, which surprised me at the strength of the negative message that they had. And yes, the NRA is known for turning out its voters. The passion of the message was very strong, and it was likely to send NRA members to the polls.
And isn't that pretty much the breakdown in Michigan? You've got rural Michigan that's very Republican and conservative, and urban Michigan that's Democrat?
Well, it's probably not quite that simple, but the fact of the matter is that the middle part of Michigan and the upper part of Michigan and the upper peninsula probably tend to be more conservative. In 2008, you saw a very strong Democratic year. In 2010, the Republicans took every statewide seat in the state and took control of both the state house and the state senate back. What's not clear is what kind of election year this year is going to be. I think voters want to see people that are going to work and get along. You do have Republican areas in the southeastern Michigan, and you have Democratic areas. So what the question today is, who turned out and what kind of voter were they? I do think that there are voters in southeastern Michigan that are Romney supporters who turned out, and I think there are voters in other parts of Michigan that are more conservative and turned out. I think it's going to be a very close night tonight.
So do you think then that much of what Santorum has been campaigning on lately, the social issues, bringing up something that a lot of women thought was already, you know, in the past, and that is contraception, his contemptuous remarks about both President Kennedy and President Obama vis-a-vis an alleged elitism, because the president's remarks about Americans needing a college education, and which he, of course, meant that also can include trade schools and vocational training, etc. But that was used by Santorum to say that he was a snob. And he was making remarks, frankly, to my mind, that with homeschooling and the other things that he's pushing, that make it sound like an American madrasa. I mean, I'm just wondering whether a lot of the stuff that he's been coming out with has hurt him, one would think, with Republican women. But on the other hand, you know, maybe he's doing well. I just don't understand. I'd like your input on that.
I think it's been very, very complicated. I think Senator Santorum has certainly, there are many Republican women that have had some issues with some of the statements that have been said in the last few days. By the way, Governor Romney himself has made some off-the-cuff comments that have stepped in it a bit, too. So they both made some gaffes in the last few days. There are people that agree with Senator Santorum, and there are people that disagree. I think Republican women have had some major issues with some of the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks in terms of public policy in this country. I'm not sure that those Republican women are voting. I think that you are seeing those who have some very conservative feelings being the ones that are turning out at the poll thinking that they can make a difference.
So as a Democrat, I assume you're a Democrat. At least you're married to one.
I am a Democrat. Democratic National Committee member.
So what about this notion that that, and of course it's come up in this race because of Santorum encouraging Democrats to vote for him, the idea that what would motivate Democrats to vote for him was that that Santorum would be an easier candidate for the president to run against than Mitt Romney. What's your feelings on that? Because just if I can express my own, I think in many ways it might be good for this country to have a debate between President Obama and this very, very conservative Republican, because it would finally sort of bring out these issues about democracy versus theocracy, and really it would gauge the true strength of the religious right in this country, which has dominated the Republican Party, and it may well prove that its bark is worse than its bite.
I think that's a complicated question. I think that Mitt Romney, Governor Romney, would be a stronger general election candidate for the Republicans. I do believe that. I think the economy and jobs is what November is ultimately going to be about, and that Governor Romney is stronger there. I think Senator Santorum has not been subject to some of the national scrutiny that Governor Romney has seen, not just in this election cycle, but was a serious candidate for president 4 years ago. Senator Santorum has made some statements that will be very controversial if they become more public. I also am somebody who thinks we need to be Americans first and Republicans and Democrats second. I think the last few years we are too divided as a country, and I want to see us pull together, not tear us apart. I wouldn't like a President Obama-Senator Santorum election because I think this country's got to start to come together, not continue to be divided.
Well, I thank you for joining us here. Obviously, we don't know anything at this point, except that it's going to be a very, very close race. And I thank you for joining us, Debbie Dingell.
Thank you. And it's been an honor to be with you. And we'll see what happens later tonight.
Again, I've been speaking with Debbie Dingell, who's the president of D2 Strategies and chair of the Manufacturing Initiative of the American Automotive Policy Council. She worked for more than 30 years at General Motors as a senior executive, has served as vice chairman of the General Motors Foundation and as executive director of global community relations and government relations at GM. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with the filmmaker of the new film, Valentino's Ghost.
Since the first of June, lost my job and lost my room. I pretend to try.